I want to read just one verse from the scriptures and from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. Paul says there, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. Amen and amen. So the subject tonight is true manhood or biblical manhood. Never before in the checkered history of humanity has what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman been so concertedly attacked, so crassly perverted, and so culturally misconstrued. And the BBC would maybe just step in at this very juncture and say, hey, wait a minute, what did you do with the other 99 genders or possible genders? Because you've probably heard how one of their programs aimed at children aged between 9 and 12 had the presenter speaking to the children in the studio, and there was a little handful of them around the presenter, and they spoke to him in these terms. Now, kids, we know we've got male and female, but there are over 100, if not more, gender identities nowadays. And then that night on the news, I'm just imagining this, but it's just typical. On the news that night, on the 6 o'clock BBC News, you'll have something like the head newsline. Statistics reveal that today there is a sharp rise in mental health amongst children. And nobody seems to know why this is the case. They've been teaching 100 plus genders. The news reports that the children are all over the place mentally nowadays, and nobody stops to ask the question, well, could there be any connection between these things? Whenever I was at school, the biggest decision you had to make was whether to play football, marbles, or Red Rover at lunchtime. Nowadays, you have to decide whether you're a boy or a girl or other. I was reading just in the past week about Royal Stoke Hospital, who welcome their, they've got a welcome notice, must be perhaps in the foyer, but they've got a welcome notice which makes provision for 21 genders. And it just occurred to me as I was reading that in the newspaper that they should have taken a leaf out of the Athenians' book, out of the Men of Athens' book, and they should have set up an altar to the unknown gender, just to cover all the bases, just in case they missed one along the way. Even when the media and Hollywood do portray a man or a woman, invariably it's a mongrel version of a man or a woman that's represented. So that the whole of society is being left with confusion of face as far as what it means to be a true man and what it means to be a true woman. And tonight we want to think about what it means to be a true man. Then when thinking about what it means to be a true man, we start in the most glaringly obvious place to start. We start in man's relationship to God. You might have thought that I was going to go down the physical route, but you'd have been wrong, because it's in the spiritual dimension, not the physical just yet, but in the physical or spiritual dimension where true manhood must begin. The point of departure for our study this evening is the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and man became a living soul. So fundamental to true manhood is man acknowledging Almighty God as his maker and himself as the creature accountable, responsible, and dependent upon his creator, and bound, acknowledge to say that he's bound to love his creator, to obey his creator, and to fall down and worship his creator. Anything less than that leaves a man a lesser man. Anything less than a man acknowledging that God is his maker and he's dependent and responsible and answerable to him leaves a man somewhat of a lesser man. Now, there's no doubt that throughout history you find some very fine men in the world. There's no doubt about that. Some sterling men you'll find in the world. But it's only in the church, it's only among the people of God that you'll find a true man. Only a Christian man, in other words, can be a true man. Because only a Christian man, that's a man who has been pressed out of the mold of regeneration by God and knows his creator savingly, spiritually. Only that man begins to have the potential to be a true man, a Christian man. So, in other words, a right relationship to his creator through faith in Jesus Christ is the underpinning of what it means to be a true man. The spiritual dimension is first and foremost in our inquiry this evening. But then, of course, the physical does come into it. We can't leave the physical out of it. It all starts when the midwife announces it's a little boy. Now, if you were to follow the perceived wisdom of today, what the midwife should really say at that stage is, it's a little, time will tell. Or, it's a little, well, it'll make its own mind up someday when it's older. But the sex being established at conception and fixed at birth is also fundamental to true manhood. A so-called sex change is only a change on paper, and it's not worth the paper it's written on. You can neuter Fido, but dog owners wouldn't begin to call their dog Fifi. And even if they did call it Fifi, the next lamppost that Fifi comes to would give the game away. Fred, who's had an operation and now goes by the name Frida, is still the same old Fred. And the female lampposts spaced out every month will give the game away. I suspect that if sex changes came as a complete woman's bundle, complete with the sapping menstrual cycle, and I'm speaking from the outside looking in, who has a wife and a daughter, if it came complete with the sapping menstrual system, the perimenopause, the menopause itself, I don't think there would be so many takers amongst men for realignment. They want their cake and eat it. The truth of the matter is that man can no more realign his birth sex than he can realign Ursa Major. It's that impossible. So, someone being true to his spiritual identity and true to his physical identity is the substructure and the superstructure of true manhood. Now, having established that, those are sort of givens, but unfortunately, we need to state the obvious nowadays. Having stated those obvious things, it's certain characteristics, certain behaviour traits by which cometh the hour, cometh the man. It's no more learnt at Eton as at Sandhurst, no more learnt at the Garrick Club as at the Working Man's Club. And the reason why I mention those four different places there is because they all seem to imbibe the stereotypical view of what constitutes a true man. The Garrick Club, the Working Man's Club, Eton or Sandhurst, it all encompasses what constitutes the popular view of what a man truly is. Now, what a man truly is, it's fair to say, differs widely from culture to culture and from one generation to another. But generally speaking, it's connected with the spokes attached to his virility. And if there's a good beard thrown in or a good hearty moustache thrown in, well, all the better for it. That is to say, true manhood is a man who is generally thought of as being physically and mentally strong, someone who's assertive and courageous, someone who's gallant and chivalrous, macho with a healthy libido, a man who can hold his drink and who can hold his own. The name's Bond. James Bond. The type of man like Sean Connery, like John Wayne, like Marlon Brando, like Daniel Craig, like Cary Grant, like Bruce Willis, like Henry Cavill, like Bear Grylls. Those types of men are typically thought of as a true man, what a man looks like. The type of man like social media influencer, mixed martial arts, Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate's been in the news the last year or so. If you've heard of him, he's in trouble over in Romania, him and his brother. But Andrew Tate has apparently a massive following and appeal among young men who see this Andrew Tate, this social media influencer, this mixed martial arts, as being the epitome of what true manhood looks in the 21st century. And I heard him speaking one time on the TV or YouTube or something, and he claims that God is using him to help confused young men to rediscover what it means to be a man, a true man. So against those stereotypical few of what a true man is, the Lord Jesus Christ steps forward. Against that popular view, Christ comes forth, and we could say with Pontius Pilate in a different context, behold the man, behold the real man, behold the perfect man, behold the man's man. The only work out that Jesus Christ ever did was to work out our salvation. And he's the true man. Jesus of Nazareth is manhood in its truest, purest form. Jesus Christ is manhood as it's meant to be. Jesus Christ walked the walk and talked the talk of masculinity. Jesus Christ, well, no other man is a patch on the masculinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is our beloved amongst the sons of men when it comes to manhood, as well as every other thing. So that the closer you are, or the closer a man approximates himself to Christ in terms of his character, in terms of his relationships, in terms of his speech and his actions and his reactions. The closer he approximates unto Christ in all those things, the closer he will in turn become a true man. Godliness is next to manliness. An article I came across by a professor, S.W. Scott, entitled Profiling Christian Masculinity, I found very helpful in studying for this. And Professor Scott had four headings, which I want to use to shape the rest of this address. So, the closer someone becomes, approximates to Christ in their characteristics, the closer he comes to being a true man. And the first thing is, a true man will be a leader. A leader. Everything about the order and the dynamics of day six of creation points up the fact that one of the irascible facts of human nature is man is leader. Male leadership. Man with woman as his helper was charged in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 to have dominion over the earth. It includes leadership. Headship over the earth. So that whether it be in the family, in the church, or in the state, the three great pillars of human society, it's man, it's the male, who is designated as the leader. The Lord Jesus Christ could not have had the government of the kingdom laid upon his shoulders. He could not have been made head over all things to the church. He could not have had all power and authority in heaven and earth if he hadn't been a man. He couldn't have been a female. Because leadership goes hand in hand with being a man. It goes with the territory of maleness. And sadly, it is territory that 21st century man under fire has surrendered to woman in the church and in the state and in the family. I'm sure that the biggest single contributor to the present day identity crisis amongst men is that we have surrendered our headship, our leadership to woman in the family and the church and in the state to a great extent. Manning up requires reasserting man's God-given role as leader. I mean, things have gotten so ridiculous, so out of hand in our culture that we can't even use the term to man up any longer. We have to use the PC-friendly version, person up, is what we're told to do now. So we're swimming against these strong currents of feminism and wokeism. And Paul would say to us, quit you like men and be strong. Be strong in leadership. In leadership. I'm not speaking here about playing the role of a patriarch. I'm talking about being a leader. A leader. Christian husbands taking the lead in their marriage, taking the lead in their homes. Men, lead your households in family devotions. Men,
Lead your households in godly example. Men, lead your households to church. Lead your households to sermon. Never relinquish for a moment your leadership role, which God has assigned to you in your gender. And be leaders in the church. Be leaders in your churches. Be in charge of the church. Be in charge of its offices of elders and deacons and ministers. Deborah, in the day of the judges, was a great leader on various fronts. But it was a sorry lot of men in that generation which required that a Deborah had to stand in and put the trousers on. A sorry lot of men. I don't blame so much the women today for the men up as ministers and elders and deacons and the rest of it, and wearing the trousers in the state and in the family. I blame the men. It's the men who should have taken the lead from the very beginning and not allowed these things to happen. So be strong as a leader. And that won't look like ruling over a woman with the heavy hand of Mohammedism. Nor will it look like keeping them chained to the sink with the hand of chauvinism. Because of the next leading characteristic of a true man. A true man will be a lover. Not just a leader, but a lover also. A true man might oftentimes keep his emotions bottled up, but he can't keep his love bottled up. The lid will be off it, even if it makes him look soft in comparison to the hard, popular image of the macho true man. Eve was made from one of Adam's ribs. She was made from Adam's body. And I'm sure there's several reasons why that was the case. But one of the reasons why she was made from Adam's body was in order that men might know that they ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Taken from man's body, so that men ought love their own bodies, their wives as their own bodies. Paul says, he that loveth his wife, loveth himself. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherishes it. Ephesians 5:28 and 29. Bone of my bones. What man never loved his own bones? What man never cared for his own bones? Well, then it should be the same for the bone of our bones. Even as the Lord the church, Paul finishes. Christ, the ideal man, he loved his church. He loved his bride. And he gave himself for it. In one selfless, sacrificial life, one long act of devotion. He loved his church and gave himself for her. Now that's the example that's set before us. The poetry of love in motion was the Lord Jesus. Washing feet, not karate feet, not marching feet, but getting down and loving and serving his bride, his people, his family. So yes, man is the king of his castle. He's the leader. He's the king of his castle. But as the lover, he will treat his wife like a queen and the rest of his royal estate like royalty. Big royal down. Love your wife as your own body, and love your neighbours, even your enemies, as yourself. We're to take the lead in love. We're to take the lead in Christian love, in Christian charity of the kind of 1 Corinthians 13. We're to lead the way in long suffering, lead the way in kindness, lead the way in meekness, lead the way in courtesy. We're to lead the way in thoughtfulness. So if you are, a man can be this, more than the woman, I'm sure, if you are a bit insensitive, a bit unsympathetic, and a bit selfish when it comes to your wife, or your children, or to your kith, or to your kin, or to your friend, or to your foe, quit ye like man, and be strong in love, because that's another part of being a true man. A third characteristic is a true man will be a protector. A protector. The fair sex are the weaker sex. To be protected by man. Adam was not leading nor loving Eve as he ought to have done when he did not protect her from the serpent, when he did not protect her from disobeying God, when he did not protect her from dying the death in the garden. Men are to be the protectors. We're to be protectors of our country from foreign aggression. Protectors of our churches from grievous wolves in sheep's clothing. Protectors of our homes from mice, from con men, and from intruders. Adam's rib was taken from his side to keep the woman by his side, to keep the woman under his arm, under his protecting arms, under his care. Even as Christ's bride, Christ's people, was taken from his side. As a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, Christ protects his people who have taken refuge. So we're to quit like men and be strong in protecting our families, our homes, our countries. You know, in God's providence, at the very moment I had wrote that down, the door knocked, our door knocked, and I went down to answer, and it was two JWs, two Polish JWs. I've never come across Polish JWs, but there they were on the door, and I'm really glad that I answered it before Janet, my wife, answered it, because of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. I'm not saying my wife's silly by any means, or your wife or your mother or your daughters are silly. That's not the point. The point is, this is just an example where we are to protect our homes, our families. Finally, a true man will be a provider. It's fallen out of the English vocabulary is the phrase, man is the breadwinner, in the house. You don't hear that nowadays. I know that women can sometimes have more earning potential than their husbands. And I know that sometimes, occasionally, it's the wife nowadays who goes out to work and the husband who stays at home to look after and manage the household. But from the beginning, it was not so. It was the man who was charged with the bread earner mandate of Genesis 3:17-19. And somebody might say, but you've got to be practical about these things. Well, no, you haven't. You've got to be biblical about these things. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5:8. The man. And here again, the true man, our Lord Jesus, comes in to the picture. We see him providing. We see him providing for the 12 again and again. He provided for the 4,000. He provided for the 5,000. He makes provision for Mary as he hangs upon the cross. Behold thy son. Pointing to John. And to John, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her on to his own home. Providing. Right to the very last breath. Providing for his own. Jesus also said in respect to this, in Matthew 4:4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, it is equally man's role to provide the daily bread of Scripture and put it on the table for the family, for the children, for his wife and so forth. I don't suppose those words of a few moments ago, but if any man provide not for his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I don't suppose those words apply any less to spiritual bread, to that bread which endureth forever, which endureth to everlasting life. I don't suppose it doesn't apply to that any more than it doesn't apply to material bread. Quit you like men and be strong. Strong in providing. Providing for those around you's bodily needs and for their spiritual needs in equal measure. So what is true manhood? Well, it's a biological man. It's a man who is also a servant of God, a worshipper of God. And it's a man functioning as a leader, as a lover, as a protector, and as a provider. Everything Jesus Christ perfectly did and was and is a biological man. He became a man. He was God's servant. He was a leader, a lover, a protector, and provider for those around him. Men need to get their concept of true masculinity from Christ. Jesus Christ literally is Mr. Universe. I don't know if there's any woman in here tonight. There's not many women in it.
If you're looking for a man, well, don't look beyond a Christian man. Don't look beyond a man who approximates onto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.